It's Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. As the current academic year wraps up at colleges and universities across the country, one area school is already preparing to welcome students this fall. A new program at Marquette University aims to make college life a success for a particular group of incoming students.
Students with autism spectrum disorders can have particular challenges in a college environment away from the safety net of relatives and friends. A Marquette professor and researcher who specializes in autism spectrum disorders is behind the innovative program called On Your Mark, which will serve 8 to 10 students in its first year.
Amy Van Hecke is an associate professor of psychology at Marquette. She and clinical assistant professor of educational policy and leadership Mary Carlson joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski in the studio recently. Van Hecke talked about some of the distinct challenges that students with autism spectrum disorders face at college.
So I think the biggest piece that someone who's on the autism spectrum in college that they would struggle with is accessing the supports they need. Mm-hmm. So we know in autism that communication is something that is really challenging for them. So even if a school has tutoring or has supports in place, actually calling and getting that connection set up is really, really challenging for someone on the spectrum. Also, there's sort of this transition to independence that happens, and I think this happens with all college students, that they struggle with, you know, living on their own in the dorms, taking care of themselves, getting themselves to class. And many of our students on the spectrum also kind of struggle with that aspect of organization and planning and really kind of making that leap from having a parent that helps them to being on their own.
And not only from having a parent that helps them, but also if they had a diagnosis in high school, they had what's called an individual educational plan, and they had a team of probably a psychologist and a speech and language therapist and a special ed teacher who together shepherded them through high school. And that's no longer there when they get to college.
Pretty standard that that support system just stops after high school graduation?
It does.
By law.
Yeah.
Yeah. The special education law only covers you until you graduate from high school.
Historically, what do you know about how students with autism spectrum disorders have fared at Marquette or even universities in general?
Pretty poorly. Many students that do sort of enter college, students on the spectrum that enter college, either they take much, much longer to graduate or they don't graduate at all. They also experience a lot of mental health concerns while in college, stress, depression, anxiety. So even in this best case scenario that they're applying to college and they get into college, there are a lot of barriers for them to successfully finish in college.
I think in particular about a mom that we met through the PEERS program that we run. It's a social skills program for teens and young adults and their parents, and the teens and young adults are on the autism spectrum. And the first night, there was a mom who wept silently for the whole 2 hours. And she was weeping silently because her very bright son had just been kicked out of college. It wasn't Marquette. It was another local university. It wasn't because he wasn't smart enough. It was because he did not know how to talk to the professor when he was in trouble or how to find the kind of help that he needed.
Mm-hmm. And we had another student, I would say, that many years ago that the parents contacted me from California. And, you know, they said, you know, we found you by searching autism on the Marquette website. And our son is a student and he needs some help. And, you know, and there are all these FERPA laws where I can't even say that I know their student goes to Marquette. I don't have a relationship with this student. And I wanted to help and I did find a way to help. But it was really challenging not having a structure set up to do that. And in this particular challenge, the student had no family here, and he'd come from California and no family, and he had stopped eating. So the dining hall was just too intense, too noisy, too chaotic for him, and with sensory sensitivities. And so he'd stopped eating and hadn't eaten for 3 days. So I managed to find an undergrad willing to go take him a bag of food. You know, we got him to eat again, and eventually we got him into a different dorm. You know, there are better, smaller places to be, but that wasn't part of something that he would have had help with, is picking a dorm that would really suit him. And, you know, we got him through it, and I think he's in law school now. He graduated, but, you know, we don't want to be dealing with emergencies, right? We really want to set students up for success and not be waiting until things go wrong.
Well, and I would imagine that having resources like these in place could spell the difference not just between success and failure at college, but being able and willing to make that next step into wanting to go to college once you're done with high school.
Yes. So I would say many of our families wouldn't consider a college unless it had a support program. So, you know, they come to us for things like social skills, for peers, for 14 weeks, and they buy the Marquette sweatshirt. And then when they hear we didn't have a support program, it was this huge disappointment. And they would look elsewhere because there are other schools around the country that have these programs. There's nothing in Wisconsin, really. So, you know, we have kind of a wide area that we can draw from and that we can serve. And, you know, why are we losing these families that have already developed this relationship with us?
Right. So why don't you walk us through how this program was developed?
We have a team.
Yes, we have a team, and we have had a goal for many years now.
Yes.
Like, I would say this goes back, gosh, like 6 years probably. I wrote a grant to NIH, the National Institutes of Health, maybe 6 years ago, and it was not funded. I don't even think they read it. and, you know, that's just not something they do, is fund support programs at colleges. This really needed a different way to get started, and you need money to start up something big like this, you know. So we had been trying various pathways and encountering just a lot of barriers and not a lot of buy-in, and, you know, and then this team and I, you know, Mary and Wendy and I really...
Wendy Krieger is the speech and language therapist that we work very closely with.
We started teaching a class on autism together, an undergraduate class, and got a grant from Marquette to do that. And then we started really, you know, kind of plotting, like, okay, how can we make things happen? There's three of us now, you know, there's momentum. I know, the cauldron.
Yeah.
And, you know, what can we cook up?
Yeah.
And so we really just started thinking more and more about it, trying different avenues, trying different grants, like internal grants. It's still not happening. And then I would say that the turning point was that Mary got a Jesuit in on board with us.
You know, when you're in trouble, you can call a Jesuit.
Yeah.
And I don't know how this Jesuit and I struck up this friendship, but came to me very humbly and he said, you know, I have a lot of families who are struggling with kids with autism, and I'm not sure how to minister to them appropriately. And I'd really like to walk with them. And so he became our unofficial chaplain.
Part of our crew.
Yeah. And he stopped by my office one day and he said, did you see this article in the New York Times about a college support program? Isn't this what you and Amy and Wendy have been talking about? And I said, yes. So it was really exciting. And I was going to share it with Amy, and at the same time...
That same day, we get a call from Advancement that there is a donor, an alumnus, that has seen this same article in the New York Times that wants to fund a program at Marquette. I mean, it was really like kismet, you know? I mean, and apparently Advancement had gone searching around, like, there's this donor that wants to do this. Who does this? Anyone interested in this? This was not something they were pushing. This was something that the alumnus, John Miller and Kate Miller, came to Advancement with and said, you know, look, this is something we want to do. Do you have the people to do it? Was that just that puzzle fit, you know, that matching, that clicking of like we have a plan and a method and a will, and then there's a donor that really has the philanthropy and the viewpoint of really how this can change society. So,
and John and Kate Miller really have that vision.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of input have you gotten from students or even former students with autism spectrum disorders or parents? You know, you mentioned that some parents have had to look at other places after learning that Marquette didn't have the support system. So how did this input or anything you've discovered while researching before this grant came into place, how did that shape the program?
When we think about, when we talk to families and stakeholders, right, we call families people with autism that can advocate for themselves, stakeholders, about, you know, what's wanted. Supports in adulthood are really a hot topic right now. So, you know, Wisconsin has a really long, lovely history of supporting children with interventions and things like that. But then you graduate and you drop off the map and you're still around and you still have autism and you still need supports. And you particularly need those supports to make those jumps, those big jumps into educational opportunities and then into the workforce. And you know, I think the research community is acknowledging this, that this is something that we really need to figure out, like what works best, what's helpful. And then the parents and the individuals on the spectrum themselves are saying, like, help us figure this out. Like, don't just worry about genetics, you know, but really help us live our best lives. Part of what we're doing in this planning year that we have is to really engage nationally with, I guess I have a graduate student that's doing a survey of individuals both preparing for college, who have are at college now, who went through a college experience with or without a program, and then parents as well about what they think are the essential elements. You know, and then another piece of it, I think, is reviewing, like, what are the programs out there that have lived the longest and that are the most successful? What elements do they have there, and kind of try to do that here?
One of the really beautiful things about finding one another and about silo busting is that we all have the same heart, but we have different brains. But somehow there's a magic that happens when you bust out of your silo. Mm-hmm. And we've learned to speak one another's languages. And one of the things, pieces that I have is, besides being a special ed teacher, I've been studying theology. And I keep going back to St. Thomas Aquinas saying that every human should be able to develop to their fullest human flourishing. That's what we want. A program like this may be the difference between somebody leading a happy and fulfilling life in which their special brain gifts are added to society and ending up sitting in their parents' basement.
And the statistics are really, really depressing. You know, without these kinds of support programs and help, you know, many, I would say 80% of our young adults on the spectrum are unemployed. 85% are still living at home well into their adult life. We're losing people that really have something to give. Their brains are wired in a really unique way to solve problems uniquely. And this is what we need. You know, I mean, in this day and age, we need people who can come at problems from different perspectives and with different skills and talents. And to lose that is just, it's stupidity on our part to not keep those people in the game. You know, with the increasing kind of rates of autism and with kids getting services earlier and earlier, we have more and more individuals on the spectrum who really do need to be going to college and who can fulfill that, can carry out that work. It's at least half, if not a little bit more than half, of the individuals on the spectrum who do not have an intellectual disability. And it's particularly those ones without an intellectual disability that have the poorest outcomes, which is kind of counter to what the rest of the disability world thinks. So when you generally when you have a disability, the more severe your intellectual impairment, the sort of more challenged your outcomes are. But in autism, it's actually a little different. It's that when you have no intellectual disability, it's a really strong predictor for very poor outcome. And so, you know, these are the kids we would see coming through the doors of Marquette or that could come through the doors of Marquette. So we have to figure out how do we get them through the doors, doing well through the doors, out the doors, and into something that really will utilize their gifts.
Yeah. How are you able to identify potential students to come to Marquette with this program?
Yes. They will have to self-identify. Mm-hmm. Our admissions people will be handing out information, but they will have to come to us.
Or have someone, an advocate who can help them come to us in
right.
the beginning. And, you know, I think that that identification is what enables us to do our best support, right? It's when someone has not been identified and is kind of struggling but not really part of a system of supports, we really can't do a lot. But that identifying from the start, we can start off on the right foot.
We think of it as scaffolding, mm-hmm. you know, and you take the bits of scaffold away when they're no longer needed. I used to be a special ed teacher, so I am interested in helping them structure their academics for success. And we are working with the Office of Disability Services. And after it's all planned and put in place, we're going to step back.
Yeah. We're going to hire someone yes. to direct the program.
Yep, there will be a program director.
It's a full-time job, you know, and then we're hiring coaches and to really be the point person for each student. So that's someone that they'll check in with that will help be their voice until they can have their own voice.
A lot of these issues that you're touching upon are things that many new college students struggle mm-hmm. with, you know, whether they are on the spectrum or not.
Absolutely.
And it's just multiplied tenfold for people on the spectrum.
Right.
Do you think there are lessons that the greater campus support community might take from this work?
I'm always thinking, like, let's do something that can serve multiple purposes, too, right? So we're helping these students achieve their full potential. We're realizing the generous and really, you know, wonderful ideas of a donor. We're realizing a dream we've had for many years. But let's also educate the rest of the students. You know, I think a lot of times when we work with people with disabilities, we're so focused on helping them and educating them and making sure they get what they need. Sometimes there's broader education that needs to happen in the community of how do you interact with someone on the spectrum? How do you support them? How do you be an ally for them? How do you not assume why people's behavior is for a certain reason when it maybe is more innocuous? So what we hope to do is that by having these students here, we enrich the entire community. You know, we have a real capacity issue with people who understand autism, professionals that understand autism and know how to work with people with autism. So we want to build that while we're helping the students. So we're kind of doing something today and we're doing something for the future.
And it's a very strong issue of social justice. We live in a very ableist society. We see from a very able-bodied, neurotypical viewpoint, and that's really not the world. An additional social justice piece is that kids of color and poor kids tend not to have access to the proper services to get diagnosed so that they could get help in school and then come on to college. So we really have to educate the public. I'm thinking about Doris Walker Dollhouse as a literacy specialist, and she and Wendy and Amy and I ran a little camp last summer for younger children on the spectrum, and we brought in some neurotypical kids without autism to be with the kids who had autism, and my granddaughter was one of them. And Wendy had been in the room with her one day, and I wasn't in her room, and I said, "Well, Lily, what did you do at camp today?" And she said, "Oh, you know, we were coloring and we were jumping over a bridge and we were working on eye contact with Lizzie." And she looked at me and she said, "You know, Nana, we all got stuff to work on." And that's the seed right there, right? Planting it when they're young so that they see that as part of a normal human experience.
Amy Van Hecke is an associate professor of psychology, and Mary Carlson is a clinical assistant professor of educational policy and leadership at Marquette University. They spoke with WUWM's Audrey Nowakowski, and you can learn more about the On Your Mark program for students with autism spectrum disorders at WUWM.com. You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at WUWM.com.